Good morning, 3CI. Good morning. How are you?
Fine, and you?
Good. We're going to read out of Colossians 1. If you can turn there for me, please. Give me one moment. Got to remind myself when I'm preaching to not worship so much. Worship the voice away. Last week, Rory spoke so beautifully out of Colossians 1, and he actually introduced my preach very nicely for me, took most of my points, but that's besides the point. In my Bible, the topic at the top of the part we're going to read today says the supremacy of the Son of God. Let's talk about the supremacy of the Son of God today. And you know, in this passage, Paul's main purpose, he's writing to the church of Colossae, and he wants them to understand the supremacy of Christ. And there's two specific areas he wants them to understand the supremacy in. The first thing is the supremacy of Christ in their creation, and then the supremacy of Christ in their redemption, in their salvation. He says, I'm writing this letter to Colossae, and last week Rory told us he's writing this letter because they've started believing a whole lot of rubbish, in Rory's words. They've started trying to add all these things in that you have to do. This church believes you have to do this and that, you know, and he's saying, no, actually, before I go there, before I come and correct you, before I come and actually try and bring in line the things in your church that's not in line with God's word, before I go there, I want you to understand the supremacy of Christ in your creation, and I want you to understand the supremacy of Christ in your redemption. And so the foundation of his whole argument in this letter to Colossae is based on this. He says, actually, everything is based on your understanding of the supremacy of Christ in your life. So can we read? We're going to read from verse 15. The Son of God is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. The church, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Beautiful. He says, let's start with this. Firstly, I want you to understand that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the image of God. And actually, he says, all things have been created in him, and all things have been created through him. Mm. You have to understand this. Before anything, before I start any argument, you have to understand this. And then when we did the series of John, when we started in John 1, if you were here, we spoke about in John 1 where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And then in verse 14, John says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So you see, when God created the earth, he created it by speaking, by his Word. And then in John we see the Word became flesh. Jesus, God created everything through Jesus. We have to understand the supremacy of Christ in our creation before we can do anything else. Beautiful. And then in let's carry on reading from verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So you see, he's saying in this passage, in the second part, he's saying, do you understand what Rory said last week? Yet your salvation is Jesus plus nothing. Yeah. Jesus plus nothing. In verse 19, he says, he's reconciled us to himself by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And then in verse 21, he says that he's reconciled us by Christ's physical body through his death. Do you understand that? Do you understand that your redemption is Jesus plus nothing? It's not your works. It's not your ability to overcome your difficulties or the challenges you're struggling with, your ability to not sin anymore. It's Jesus plus nothing. Your salvation is so he wants us to understand the supremacy of Christ in our creation and the supremacy of Christ in our redemption. And you know, what is our response to this now? You know, does that mean I can just go on living like I want to live? Because it's Jesus. It's all Jesus. You know, I can just carry on. You know, I've been created by Jesus and I'm saved by Jesus. It's all Jesus. I just carry on with my life. I just live my life the way I want to. Now, actually, I believe that when we understand this, when you truly understand the supremacy of Christ in your creation, and you truly understand the supremacy of Christ in your salvation, there can only be one response. There can only be one response, and that is that you give supremacy to Christ over your life. It's the only response. It's the only response you can have. You give Christ supremacy in your life. You know, many people make Jesus their savior, you know? I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? Who wouldn't want to accept Jesus and actually know that my sin is paid for, that actually that I have access to eternal life with God? But you know, when you truly understand it, you actually want to make Jesus Lord of your life. Not just Savior, Lord of your life. You want to say that I want to submit everything in my life to Christ. My own will, my life, my finances, my marriage, my parenting, everything I want to submit under the supremacy of Christ. And you know, I believe that in this passage, it shows us that when we do that, when we understand the supremacy of Christ in our creation, I sound like I'm saying that a lot, but when we understand the supremacy of Christ in our creation and we understand the supremacy of Christ in our redemption and we give Christ supremacy in our life, there's actually five things that will be evident in your life. It will be evident in your life. And these five things that I see in this passage we read today was that you'll have an unwavering identity.
Very good.
Rory said last week, Paul, unwavering identity. You'll have a clear calling. You'll understand your calling. You'll have surety of salvation. You'll understand that you are holy, without blemish, and free of accusation. And you'll have an established faith and an unmovable hope. Actually, I believe that this passage says that that is what our lives should look like when we understand the supremacy of Christ in our life. So let's look at the first point, an unwavering identity. So if I have to ask you today, what is the first thought that pops in your head when someone asks you to tell them about yourself? What is the first thing that pops into your head? Is it about your looks, the way you look? Is it about your success or maybe the lack thereof? Is it about your personality or for some of us maybe lack thereof? No, I'm just joking, sorry. But what is the first thing that pops in your head when you're my looks? No, babe. Gina, what is the first thing that pops in your head when someone asks you, what do you think about yourself? You see, because if we understand the supremacy of Christ in our creation, then actually we understand that we have been created in Jesus and through Jesus. You know, if we go back to verse 16, we read that for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him. You have been created in him and through him. You know, in Genesis 1, verse 26, when God created Adam, the first man, it says that, and then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And just in case you men think that was only for you, because surely God couldn't have created woman in his image, he just adds verse 27 that says, so God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Do you understand that you've been created in the image of God? That you've been created in him and through him? Do you understand that? You know, when we don't understand that we've been created in the image of God, we get pulled forwards and backwards by the things that this world sells us to be good enough. You know, we constantly get pulled in by what the world tells us we have to do to be good enough. You know, if only I could lose 10 kilograms, you know, then I'll be good enough. Or maybe for you young men here, it might be, if only I could gain 10 kilograms, then I'll be good enough. You know, my son and myself, we are opposite extremes of the spectrum now. You know, I want to lose 10 and he wants to gain 20. And I was thinking the other day, you know, it's so amazing. They've developed, you can donate your kidney and your liver. You know, Peter Steph, the toy's dad, donated his ACL tendon to him. You know, if only I could donate my weight to my son, you know, I mean, it'd be amazing, you know, I mean, problem solved. Well, my problem solved, half of his solved. But you know what? Is that the way you think about yourself? You've been created in the image of God. I'm not talking about being healthy. I'm not talking about being healthy. I'm not talking about eating healthy and exercising. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we disqualify ourselves because of how we look. Or how we disqualify ourselves because of our success or not our success. I'm talking about that where it becomes so important that you're doing things that you know are bad for you, but you want to have that goal. And let's get real. We're talking about injecting yourself with a medication that has been proven to have long-term side effects because you need to lose weight to feel good enough about yourself. Sure. We're talking about I'm vaping and I know it's bad for me and I know it's bad for my lungs, but actually it's an appetite suppressant. I'm talking about how we disqualify ourselves from the opportunities that God brings across our path because we don't feel good enough. You know, someone asks you to share and you feel like, no, I can't go stand up there. I don't feel good enough about myself. This is what happens when we don't understand our identity. I'm talking about withholding yourself in intimacy from your husband because you've picked up some weight and you don't feel good about yourself. I'm talking about the things we're doing that are contrary to the word of God because we don't understand our identity. You know, Maybe it's about your mental health issues, you know? Maybe you're saying today, I'm an anxious person. No. You've been created in the image of God. Don't make your mental health struggles your identity. You're not an anxious person. Yes, you struggle with anxiety. It's real. I understand that. I'm not denying that. It's something you're walking with God. You're trusting God. You're trusting God to help you overcome that anxiety. You're walking with God. You're getting the help you need. If you need to see a doctor, you're seeing a doctor, but don't make it your identity. Don't make it your identity. You've been created in the image of God. You've been created through him and in him. Do you understand the supremacy of Christ in your creation? You know? Do you only feel good enough when you get a certain amount of likes on your posts or a certain amount of followers? And you're going to go, oh, yeah, there you go again, Wendy. I'm sure the young people are rolling their eyes at me. But you know what? You may say you're old. You don't understand. We're living in a social media era. Maybe you're saying it's my job. I'm an influencer or I'm a digital marketer. You don't understand. But you know what? Rory spoke about it last week, how our culture and our religion becomes intertwined. And you know what happens? We're so obsessed with those things in our daily life that it starts coming into our thinking when we think about ourselves and we think about God and we think about how he views us and how we view ourselves. We have to actually have an identity that's established on the fact that we have been created in the image of God and we have been created in him and through him. Yeah. I've said before here that, you know, my biggest thing in life is that I speak too much. I mean, it's clear, obviously. And I speak too fast and I speak before I think as well. My petrol work a lot better than my brakes. And it just is what it is, you know. And it's the one thing that always gets me in trouble because I always end up saying something that I didn't want to say or I say something and people take it up the wrong way. It's not the way I meant it. And it's a struggle. It really is a struggle. And the one day when I did said something again that I shouldn't have said, and I said to God, God, why could you not have just made me a little bit quieter? Like if I was just a little bit more of an introvert, you know, it would have been so much better for me and definitely so much better for the people around me. And, you know, I felt God say to me so clearly, and I mean, even now when I'm standing here, I still get goosebumps when I think about it because I felt the Holy Spirit say to me so clearly in that moment, oh, so you know a lot better how you should have been for what I've called you to do. You know a lot better how I should have made you for that which I placed you here on earth for. Yeah. And so my identity, I've been created in the image of Christ. He's created me exactly the way I need to be for that which he's placed me here on earth for what he's called me to do. I've been created. We need to, when we understand his supremacy, we have to have an unwavering identity. The second thing we have to have is a clear calling. Now, you might say to me today, yo, Wendy, that's a big topic to take on just as one sub-point in a preach, you know? Many people have said to me, if only I knew my calling, if only I understood what God called me for, well, I'm here to tell you today. You can all walk out here today and know what your calling is. And you know that if we've been created in the image of God and we've been created through Jesus and in Jesus, surely we must have been called for more than just to make money and build companies and buy a better car and get a bigger house and be skinny. Surely we've got to be created for more than that if we've been created in Jesus and through Jesus. And actually, the answer is just two words. You want to know what your calling is? Just two words in this passage. We're going to go back to verse 16 where it says, all things have been created through him and for him. You have been created for him. That is why God created you. He created you to have relationship with him. That's why he made us, to be in relationship with him, to actually grow closer to him, to learn more about him every day, to hear his voice more clearly, to hear him speaking to us. That's why he created us. He created mankind to be in relationship with him. That is what we've been created for. Now, you might say to me, okay, Wendy, so what? Do I just quit my job, sit at home all day, read my Bible, get to know God better, become closer to him, hear his voice more clearly? Now, actually, it says that God created us to be a visible representation of him here on earth. He made us so that when people who don't know him look at us, they should say, wow, I see something of God in you. And that what I see in you, I want to get to know that God so that they can come into the relationship with him. Do you know the only thing we can take with us to heaven is other people? Can't take your legacy, can't take your wealth, can't take your nothing. The only thing you can take to heaven with you is other people. And so we've got to ask ourselves, you know, what does it look like when I go to work? What is my main goal when I go to work on a Monday? Is it to climb the corporate ladder? Is it to get another promotion? Is it to in the end, be the CEO of the company? Or am I actually doing my job in a way that represents Christ so that people can look at me and go like, I want to get to know that God that you are the visible representation of. Sure. You know, if you run your own company, are you running it in a way that actually your employees can see God? Are you paying your people on time? Are you treating them fairly? Are you treating them with respect? When people who work for you look at you, do they see a visible representation of God? Because when we understand that we've been created in his image and we've been created in him and through him, that's what our calling is, to represent him here on earth. Right, you know, do you prioritize the things of God? Or are you so busy with your job or your children's sports or that you don't have time? You don't have time to come to church or you don't have time to come to be in a life group. You're too busy. You travel too much or you don't have time to come to prayer meeting on Tuesday night because you have a long day at work and you're tired. Actually, you've been created to be in relationship with God. That's your calling here on earth. That's what you've been placed here for. We should have a clear calling when we understand the supremacy of Christ in our life. The third thing is surety of salvation. And I've already touched on this. But if you understand the supremacy of Christ in your redemption, you should understand that there's nothing that you can do that can make you lose your salvation. Yeah. You know, when we read in this passage in verse 20, it says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood shed on the cross. Sure. We are reconciled to God through the blood shed on the cross. Sure. Not your ability to do the right thing, not your ability to do good works, your ability to not sin again, through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Verse 22, he says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. Do you know that Jesus was always God's plan A? Yeah. It wasn't like God said, okay, let's do the Old Testament. We're gonna have the priests and we're going to make the sacrifices and they're going to, once a year, the priest will. And if it doesn't work, then maybe, you know, okay, it didn't work. What am I going to do now? Oh, surprise. No, actually, Jesus was always God's plan A. That was always his plan for our redemption. But first, he had to show us as mankind that we couldn't save ourselves. The Old Testament was there to show us that no matter how many times we sacrifice, no matter how many times we repent of our sin, no matter how many times the high priest kills the lamb, we're going to sin again. We can't save ourselves. We aren't able to save ourselves. And they start with the Ten Commandments, and then they added more, and then they added more, and in the end, I don't know, I can't even remember how many there were. And still, even with all these laws and these rules, still they weren't able to be perfect, to be sinless. But God actually said, but you know what, I'm going to send my son. My son, I'm going to send them into this broken world to become a human in the flesh, to come, to live a completely sinless life, sinless life, whole life, never sinned. And in spite of the fact that he never did one sin in his whole life, he would die on the cross for you. He would pay the price for you, pay the price for you, that price that you couldn't pay for yourself. He would pay for you so you could actually be in relationship with God so that you can have eternity with Christ. Do you understand that? Do you understand what it means? What happens in your heart and your mind when you sin? What happens? Do you doubt whether you're still a child of God? Every time you do that thing again that you really don't want to do, do you doubt whether you are still saved? Do you doubt that if you had to die at that moment right there, whether you would actually have an eternity with Christ? Or do you understand the supremacy of Christ in your salvation? Do you understand that it's not up to you, that you're not saved because of what you do? You're saved by the blood of the Lamb that he shed on the cross. Right. Does that mean I can just keep on sinning? I really believe that if you truly have a revelation of that, there's no ways you can just keep on sinning. Yeah. There's no ways. There's There's no ways. If you are able to just keep on sinning and not actually even feel guilty about it, you don't understand the supremacy of Christ in your revelation. Because there's no ways when you understand that you can keep on sinning. So what do I do when I sin? I fall on my knees. I repent. I ask God to forgive me. I ask him to help me to actually put that area of my life that I'm struggling with under his supremacy. I ask him to help me. But all the while I'm doing this, I know in the back of my head I'm still saved. I have to have that surety of salvation while we walk it out on earth, while we're growing in God and we're becoming mature and we're learning how to deal with some of these things we struggle with. In the back of our head, we need to have surety of salvation because it's not based on what you do. It's based on the finished work of Christ. The fourth thing is that you understand that you are holy in God's sight without blemish and free from accusation. In verse 22, Paul says that when Jesus reconciles us through God, through his death, he presents us holy in God's sight without blemish and free from accusation. Sure. Is that how you see yourself? Sure. Holy, without blemish, free from accusation? Or are you still beating yourself up about that thing you did last night? Are you still beating yourself up about that thing you did last year? Are you still beating yourself up, for some of us, maybe about that thing you did 15 years ago? And you actually can't move on. You constantly, every time you try and go forward in life, you're reminded of that failure, that thing where you messed up, that sin that you did 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Or do you actually, the Bible says when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Is that how you see yourself? Is that how you see other people? You know that person who sinned against you? That person who offended you 5 years ago and you've forgiven them, but just don't come too close to me. Do we see other people as holy, without blemish and free from accusation? It's challenging, hey? It's challenging because it's real and it's tough. But actually the Bible says that is how God sees us. He presents us. He doesn't expect us to be. He presents us. Holy, without blemish and free of accusation. And the last thing is an established faith and an unmovable hope. If you understand the supremacy of Christ in your creation, and you understand the supremacy of Christ in your redemption, and you have an unwavering identity, you know who you are in Christ, you have a clear calling, you know that what you've been called to do is be in relationship with him, you have you have surety of your salvation. You know that your salvation is Jesus plus nothing. You understand you are holy in God's sight and without blemish and free from accusation. How can you not have an established faith and an unmovable hope? How can we not? If you truly understand those things, how can you not have a faith that doesn't waver? When you go through good times, how will you walk away from God when you're going through good times and you don't maybe need him that much? How will you get to a place when you're struggling and you've been struggling for years and you don't get an answer to your prayers where you actually start doubting God? How will you, when you understand these things, when you understand his supremacy in your life, how will you? You'll actually just keep trusting him and keep trusting him and say, God, I know your word says that you make all things work together for the good for those who love you. I'm trusting you. I don't see it. I've been struggling in this area for many years, but actually I know you're a good God and I know you're in control of my life. I know you have supremacy in my life. Just keep walking with him. You have an unmovable hope. Your hope never wavers. You don't look to the things of this world to give you hope. You have a hope in God that doesn't waver because you understand his supremacy in your life. Now you might say to me today, what if I realize I don't have some of the things in my life? What if I realize that some of these things are not evident in my life? Maybe you've realized that your identity is not established in God and what he says about you. Or maybe you've realized that your priorities don't line up with the calling that God has on your life. You know, I believe that is why Paul wrote this first in Colossians, because he says what you do when you realize that, you don't try and fix yourself. Trust me, I've got an A-type personality. I've been trying to fix myself my whole life. You can't fix yourself. You can't. You go back to where Paul started. You go into your quiet room and you say, God, won't you give me a supremacy, give me a revelation of your supremacy in my creation? God, won't you go back and give me a revelation of your supremacy in my salvation? Help me to understand what it means that I've been created in your image. Help me to understand what it means that I'm saved by Jesus and Jesus plus nothing. And when we do that, we give Christ supremacy in our life and these other things come in line because it's what his word says and his word never lies. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and I want us to just take a few moments today to just sit, just close your eyes, and just ask God. Maybe today you've realized that you don't fully understand what it means that you've been created in Christ. Or maybe today you've realized that you don't have a true deep revelation of what it means that your salvation is Jesus plus nothing. Maybe the Holy Spirit has put his finger on an area of your life where you haven't given Christ supremacy. That you actually just go like, yeah, I love Jesus, but just don't touch this part of my life. Can we just sit for a few moments and close our eyes and just ask God to show us, to give us a revelation of what this means in our life. And then we're gonna end off with a song that says, Jesus, have it all. It's just a moment of surrender. It's a moment of surrender to say, Jesus, maybe today you'll do it for the first time. Maybe for the first time today you want to say, Jesus, I want to give you supremacy over my life. Maybe it's just a re-surrender. Say, hey, actually, you know what? My eyes have actually been drifting a bit. I've been pulled off from what you called me for by the things of the world. I just want to actually just re-surrender today and just say, Jesus, I give it all to you today. Can we do that?